Praise God. We're going to work in Psalms 137 tonight. Psalms 137, and we'll begin with verse 1. Everybody did such a wonderful job Monday. What a great picnic we had. Good fellowship, really good food, and good activities, and just very, very nice. And God blessed us with a beautiful day, and it was an awesome time had by all. And a lot of visitors, And people are always impressed with how nice you are. I hear that so often. You'd be surprised at how often I hear how nice you are and how friendly you are. We had people leave there saying, this is what it's going to be like in heaven. People fellowshipping like this. And, you know, don't mistake the power of that. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and in the breaking of bread and in fellowship. And those were important components in that first generation revival. Good church, but good fellowship. And lots of breaking of bread. Those are important components for revival. Psalms 137, would you say, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, give him praise and thanks for it tonight. His word forever settled in heavens. We bless your name, oh God, and we praise you, and we thank you for your word, oh God. Powerful word, creative word. Bless your name for it tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Pray for my wife. She is in recovery from suffering at the hands of a periodontist, but she is better and coming back. And so pray for her. The Jews are in Babylon. They're there because of rebellion. They're there because they've gone a whoring after other gods. And that's the language of the scripture. And in this psalm, this is a song that comes out of the heart of captive Judah. Captive Judah says, we are sitting by the rivers of Babylon, and we've hanged our harps upon the willows. They want us to sing a song, and they require that we be joyful. But how can we sing the songs of God in a strange land? And if we don't remember Jerusalem, oh, let our tongue cleave to the roof of our mouths. And if I don't prefer Jerusalem above my chief joy. And so this is a song about loss. And I don't minimize their loss. They have been defined by Jerusalem. The temple is in Jerusalem. And that is their connection with God. And that's the city of David. And that's the place that becomes the citadel of Zion. It is the place that defines them as the people of God. And it's been like that for so many generations now, that Jerusalem lies in ruin and it's been destroyed by the hand of Babylon. And literally scores of thousands of them have been murdered and butchered at the hands of the Babylonians. And these that are in Babylon are captives like Daniel and like Ezekiel and like the three. And their hopes are broken and their dreams are shattered and their homes are destroyed. And everything that's defined them, family and friends and surrounding and city. And you can't even imagine what it would be like tonight in a moment's time to be in a strange country and having lost everything that made you who you've been all your life. And so I don't minimize their loss. That it is no small loss that they're weeping about here. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and we wept when we remembered Zion. Anybody ever lost anything that when you think about it, it just brings a cloud of hurt and pain? You lost a loved one or you lost something in tragedy and you can't get it back. And anytime you reach back and touch that, it just kind of weighs down on your life like a heaviness coming down upon your spirit. Well, I don't know that any of us have suffered like these have suffered, but there are people alive today that have walked through places as dramatically tragic as Judah has walked through. And bitterness in this place of captivity has crowded out their joy. Loss and bitterness and depression has snuffed out the flame of their victory. And they say, we've hanged our harps on the willows. We can't sing the songs of God in this God-forsaken land. We just can't do it. And I understand their hurt, and I understand their brokenness, and I understand their loss. And what they've said here is, just sometimes in life, you just have to hang it up. And sometimes in life, you just gotta hang up your joy, or you just gotta hang up your shout, or you've just gotta hang up your victory, because you've lost too much to muscle your way through what has happened to you. And your circumstances are so confining, and your situation is so debilitating that you just can't get your head up to look into the heavens and try to reconnect with God. But I hear the voice of Nehemiah saying, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. And somehow, in the middle of a crushing experience, I've got to find a way to plug back into my joy source. I've got to find a way to plug back. Now, come on, if you're going to get with me, you got to get with me. I'm not going to keep you here all night. We're starting out slow. We're starting out late. But we've got to go ahead and get with it here. I'm going to turn you loose at some point. I've just got a word in the Holy Ghost for this house tonight. Give your neighbor a high five and say, praise the Lord. Ask him, do you have the victory? Praise God. Praise God. Come on, somebody. The Holy Ghost is saying, I know you got problems, but count your blessings. I know you got trouble, but count your blessings. I know you got resistance, but lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. Anybody that's got reason for it, clap your hands and shout. No, I mean shout. Go ahead and shout. I've got a reason to shout. Praise God. Can you read? Do you have a Bible? I need a man with a Bible that can read. Those are the only requirements. And one of these. Tonight, Ezekiel 1 and 1. But for everybody that's sitting on a stump sucking his or her thumb and can't get up over the circumstances, you just need to know this tonight. I've come to serve notice on you. I've come to knock on your door and serve you with a warrant from God and say, for everyone that's heartbroken, somebody's had their heart broken, but they haven't hung up their harp. For everyone that's been betrayed, somebody else has been betrayed, but they haven't hung up. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't hang it up. Say, hold on to your harp. Hold on to your song. Hang on to your victory. Don't let him take your joy. My God, let me tell you what I've got. I've got the Holy Ghost, and it'll get me through anything. The joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Do you believe that tonight? I believe we can go through anything with the joy of God.
Now it came to pass in the 13th.
Read loud and big.
Now it came to pass in the 13th.
That's what I need.
In the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives.
Ezekiel said, I was among the captives.
By the river Chebar.
I was by a Babylonian river. Later on he'll say, I sat where they sat.
That the heavens were open.
Wait a minute. I thought the heavens were brass. This is the same river where they hung their harps up. This is the same crowd that said we can't find God. This is the same crowd that said we don't have a song. But Ezekiel said, I was right there among them and the heavens were open. Go ahead.
That the heavens were open and I saw
visions. I saw visions of God. My God, I'll tell you this. I don't care where you are. You can still hear from God. I don't care how bad it hurts. You can still hear from God. And here's the punchline. You retreat into your bitterness. You're hurt. You lose everything. But if you force your way through, God's already promised you, nothing's going to come on you that's bigger than the joy and the victory of God. Nothing beyond your power to resist. Tell yourself, it's in my hands. I can press through it. All shame on you if you're molly grubbing and you're bitter and Jimmy Green is over here praising the Lord. Shame on you if you're depressed and you can get up and walk out of this house. And shame, shame. Well, praise God. I don't know your whole job description, Brother Jimmy, but that's one component of your job description. Is to keep the pressure on me. So that as long as I can move, you and that little gal in the Philippines make me worship God. I'll always be a shouter. I'll always be a dancer. I'll always be an aisle runner. I'll always be lifting up my hands. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, right after Ezekiel. Praise God. How many of you remember Brother Emery from ARC last year? Ezekiel chapter 22. God says, Abram, take Isaac, your only son that you love, to the top of the mountain that I'll show you and offer him there a burnt offering. Abram tells the two young men, he said, you remain here with this animal. He said, I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship, and we're going to return to you. In a situation where you've been asked to do something or be something or become something that's beyond your capacity, you turn it into worship. You say, I can't even envision myself doing this. I don't even know how God thought of this. But whatever it is, I'm going to obey God. And I'm going to call it worship. I'm going to offer it up to God. It's going to be worship unto God. I'm telling you, whether you're in Babylon or God just asks you to do something that destroys your life. You say, God won't do that. God will pick you up out of your home where all your family is, everything you've known, and call you to a place where you don't know anybody. Where there's no seafood. There's no crawfish etouffee. You can't just buzz down to the corner and find a Cajun market. He'll call you to take your grandbabies away from their grandparents. But when he does, you say, this is my story. This is my calling. This is what God has laid on my life. And I'm going to call it worship. But in the midst of the calling of God, I will not hang up my harp. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't care what it is. Don't hang up your harp. Come on, you're going to need your harp in that valley. Come on, you're going to need your harp in that mission. You're going to need your harp. You're going to need your shout. You're going to need your joy. Daniel 1 and verse 8.
But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat.
But he was a captive and he wasn't at home and he was in an accursed Babylonian culture. And the pressure was on and the king said you had to eat the king's meat. But he purposed in his heart. He said, I don't care what this culture's like. I'm going to be like God. I'm not going to be like the culture around me. Come on, New Life. I'm going to be like the Word of God. I'm not going to turn into the culture around me. Come on, young people. You say you're the difference. I'm going to be like the Word of God. I'm not going to be like the culture around me. Read on.
Nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your...
Verse 15.
And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portions of...
If you obey God, you're going to come out better than all of that nasty culture around you that's telling you you got to live like us and love what we love and go where we go and do what we do. I want to tell you what, our kids are going to be brighter and fairer and better in every area because we obey the Word of God. That's just the promise of the Word of God. It's not going to hurt them to be holy. It's not going to hurt them to be God. It won't hurt them to learn how to shout. It won't hurt them to learn how to talk in tongues. It won't hurt them if they don't go play ball. It won't hurt them if they don't go play ball. It won't hurt them if they don't have a television. It won't hurt them if they don't go to the movies. They'll be better than the culture around them. And if this is literal, they'll be fatter too. Fatter and fairer. 17.
As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding and all visions. And
you hear it? You hear it? He gave them knowledge and wisdom and skill and all understanding. Just because they took a stand to live for God and do what was right. Babylon was a very advanced culture. Babylon had astronomers and wise men. But these said, we're not going to taste what you eat. We're not going to do what you do. And God, because it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. God will breathe on you. Where's Logan? He's over in class, or he's not here tonight. Logan showed me his grace. He said, before the Holy Ghost, after the Holy Ghost. I've told people for years, it worked for me, it worked for Logan, it'll work for you. The Holy Ghost will help your GPA. A prayer life will make you brighter. Memorizing the Word of God will grant you wisdom from on high. My. They were fairer. They were brighter. Read on.
Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better.
10 times better. You live for God, you'll be 10 times better than the world around you. You're not hearing me. I'm telling you, you live for God with all your heart. You take a stand and don't play footsies. Not a little. You know, this apostolic thing only works if you do it full bore. Do it all the way. It's not fun unless you do it all the way. It's not exciting unless you just jump in with both feet. This apostolic thing, you're miserable if you're trying to do this and do the world at the same time. You're miserable. But God will make you 10 times better than the world around you. Praise God. Daniel and the three are there. And the three stand up when the whole world is bowing down. In the middle of this generation that said we hanged our harps upon the willows. And when the music cranked up, the whole nation of Babylon bowed its face to the ground. And those three kids were standing there and they just said, we're not going to do this. We're not going to bow down. Look at chapter 3 and verse 17. Chapter 3 and verse 17.
If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace.
He said, I'm going to throw you in the furnace if you don't bow down. They said, well, that may be, but God is able. We're not going to be pressured by the circumstances. I know I've told you 100 times. I just got to tell you, though, the only variable of any significance is not my enemy, not my culture, not the pressure around me, not the circumstance, but the only variable that matters is my response. He said, God can deliver us. Read on.
And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God.
But even if we die in the smoke, even if we die in the furnace, my God, but after they threw them in, they heated it up 7 times more than the warranty allowed. And it killed the men that threw them into the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looked through the porthole of that furnace. And he said, did we not cast 3 men alive into the fire? He said, I see 4. And the 4th is like unto the son of the gods. I want you to know, you take a stand for God. It doesn't matter the culture around you. God, the Holy Ghost is talking to this church tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, don't you hang up your harp. I know I'm not going through what you're going through right now, but don't you hang up your harp. Don't you cash in. Don't you give up on God. I know your heart is breaking. I know what the pressure can be like. But if you'll stand for God, God will stand for you. He's going to be there with you. Praise God. And when everything's dead, Habakkuk said, shout on. I'm going to shout on. We're not going to read it all because we got a late start tonight. But Habakkuk said, we're not going to quit shouting. We're not going to quit singing. We're not going to hang up our harp. And the apostles are tied to the wall in a dungeon and their backs are bloody. And the scenario looks daunting and horrible and without any hope at all. But they said, we're not going to hang our harps up. We're not going to give up our song. I'm not going to give up my praise. I'm not going to give up my concept that God is bigger than my circumstances. The bitter irony about Israel, or Judah specifically here, the dirty little secret about these that say, we were weeping for Zion. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem. The reason they're in Babylon is because they weren't serving God. And now they're bitter. Typical backslider. bitter because what God didn't do. Let me tell you something. God is good and God is faithful. And if you've walked away, it is the trick of the devil to say, well, God failed me, or the church failed me, or the preacher failed me. But here's a news flash for you. Don't hang up your harp. It doesn't matter what anybody else has done to you or against you. Only thing that matters is if you're faithful to God, God's going to come through for you, and your situation's going to turn around. Lay your hand on your neighbor, shake him, say, don't hang up that harp. Don't give up that joy. Come on, hang on to your victory. Praise God. Now, got a question for you. Can you have revival in Babylon? Well, yeah, we just got the scriptural passage here. Somebody was having revival. Somebody was having victory. Somebody was ascending into dreams and visions. And we're still reading the visions of Daniel and the prophecy that came forth. And we're still talking about the Hebrew three that wouldn't bow or bend or break or burn. We're still talking about the victories. We're still feasting on the revival that they had. Not a nation, but individuals that stood up and said, you can't have my joy. You might take my life, but you can't have my joy. You might take my house, but you can't have my joy. You might take my job, but you can't have my joy. And I won't give you my song. Everybody that thinks you can have revival in Babylon, say amen. Amen. How about, do you think you can have revival in the Bible Belt? Which may be worse than Babylon. No, I said, do you think you can have revival in the Bible Belt? Which may be worse than Babylon. The best boy in that elementary school thinks so. Praise God. Let me tell you where you can have revival. He said, you're going to receive power, authority, dunamis. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you're going to be witnesses into my name beginning at Jerusalem. You can have revival in Jerusalem. But what they didn't know, they didn't understand, they could have revival in Babylon too. But he didn't stop there. He said first Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the... Let me tell you what he means. You can have revival anywhere that Holy Ghost gives you authority. Anywhere you got the name that gives you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Somebody ought to dance on your enemy right now. Somebody needs to hear it. I've given you power to tread on those serpents. I killed a snake today. I was walking through the yard, coming back up from a prayer walk, coming back up the steps, and I saw something out of place. One of those glimpses, just something out of place. It comes from being a snake hunting kid in the wilds of Louisiana. And he had his head up like that. And he was seeing if the coast was clear. And I went on in the house. And every now and then I'd look out at him. And he'd still be looking up. And after a while, because he's got all day long. He's got all day long. And the problem is, if he'd have been out away, I wouldn't have fooled with him. But he's too close to my house. Too close to my babies. Too close to my sweetheart. Too close to things that matter. I'm not going to go looking for him off out. I used to do that when I was a kid. But I knew what he'd do, and after a while I looked, sure enough, he was halfway between his hidey hole and the house, and he was coming that way. So I got my bush hook that's bladed on both sides, And I held him down for just a little bit just to let him know, you're about to die. He's striking at the bush hook. And he's totally without power. Because that bush hook is the boss. And I motivated him over the retaining wall, and he made a break for the field. But I said, it's too late. You've already touched my house. Now you die. And so, with my bush hook, and I took him apart in 4-inch sections. And every section still moving, and that head still biting. And the last section that went down, I took his head with the bush hook. You got to have an attitude about snakes. Snakes that are trying to come into your house. You better get an attitude about snakes that are trying to come into your life. You better have an attitude about snakes that are trying to come into your youth group. You better have an attitude about snakes that are trying to come into your marriage. You better get an attitude about snakes. The word of the Lord to you tonight is, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And he wasn't talking about reptiles. He was talking about devils and demons and lying spirits. Praise God. Not going to ask you. I'm going to tell you. We can have revival in the Bible Belt. We can have revival in the city of Birmingham. My God. We're not going to hang up our harps. Well, you know what? You might as well hang it up, buddy, because people have tried this before. People have been around here for a long time trying to do this. They've closed down some of these apostolic churches in this city. They've sold them off. They've shut the doors. The lights are dark. Something else is worshiping there now. And they're all scattered. You might as well. No. You got to get this. That's another way. That's another person. That's another group. I can't make apologies for them. I'm not here to indict them. I'm just wanting to tell you that we're not going to hang up our harp. We're not going to stop being the people of God. I don't care what the day is, what the circumstance is. Shake a neighbor and say, we are the people of the Most High God. And we're building up the house that was builded long ago. God already sees the congregation that's going to be born in this city. God already sees what your sons and daughters will be when they're men and women in the house of God. God already sees the ministry that he's calling you to. God already sees the healing in your hand and the prophecy in your mouth. Don't hang up your harp. I'm excited about this impromptu prayer meeting on Tuesday nights. I'm excited about the scheduled prayer meeting on Monday night. I'm excited about Bible studies that are going on all over the city. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him, I can have revival on my job. I can have revival in my school. I can have revival in my home. This is the time. This is the place, and we are the people. Praise God. I don't care. I heard somebody talking about political conspiracies today. I heard people bellyaching about things that were going on in the political realm. I heard men talking about sporting events. I'm hearing all kind of buzz and all kind of noise out there. But the only thing that I'm really listening to is the pulsing drumbeat of revival that's coming into me from another world. And God is trying to marshal his people for revival this year, not next year. Right now, not another time. This place, not another place. This people, not another people. Praise God. Praise God. And all these guys that we read about, Daniel and the three, and Ezekiel and Abraham and Job and Habakkuk, All they did was sing and stand and pray. Come on down around the altar tonight. Praise God. Tell somebody by you, I can have revival because I can pray. Tell them I can worship because I've got the power of God in my life. Tell them I can love holiness. People have loved holiness since there's been a God. I can love holiness. Come on. Don't you let the enemy tell you there's something about this living for God business that you can't do because of your age or because of this generation or because of the place where you happen to be, a school or a job or a family. My God. Shake somebody and say, I can walk righteously. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to lift up your hands right now. Just begin to talk in tongues. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, just lift up your hands and start talking in tongues. Tell somebody by you, I can get 10 people in the house on Sunday. Come on. How many of you can get 10 people to come in the house Sunday? Oh, no, 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 no. You're afraid to lift your hand. You know what? That's tantamount to hanging your harp on the willows. You already gave up before you tried. Come on. It has to start with faith. How many of you believe you can get 10 people here on Sunday? Now, some of you are saying, I don't even know 10 people. Praise God. I'm going to take a pile of tracks. I'm going to take a pile of church cards. And I'm going to try to take up the slack for some of you that don't have faith. I'm going to go beat the bushes tomorrow. And I'm going to tell them, Kelsey needs you to come to the house of God. I'm going to do that. It's okay. You could use a few extras. All right? Okay. Praise God. If you believe you can, tell your neighbor, I'm going to pick up a couple of extras for you. How many of you have more than 10 names on your tens list? How many of you have more than 10 names? My tens list is a mess. I got names up in the writing and all over the side and little bitty names on the side. Praise God. Give your neighbor a high five and say, don't you hang up your heart. You can get 10 people to come into this house. Yes, you can. You can bring. Now, I want you to just look around the altar right now. If you just get one, we'll have 100 get the Holy Ghost.